Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
Please be seated. The jury's all present in
We are back on the record, C-250966,
David Valdez versus Thomas Randolph.
The elected
plaintiff, Randolph, is
present
with his attorney.
He has been discharged on behalf of the state. We both
filed
affidavits in the presence of our jury. Yes, Your Honor. Yes, sir.
Statement may call your next witness. Thank you, Your Honor. The state calls Randy
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Yes. First name is Randall. It's R-A-N-D-A-L-L. Last name is McPhail. M-C, capital P-H-A-I-L.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, how were you employed back in 2008?
I was a senior crime scene analyst with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
And have you since retired?
Yes.
And what year did you retire?
2018.
What was the process for you in becoming a crime scene analyst? Did you start off in a certain position and then move up?
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to have the qualifications to even test for the crime scene analyst. I had over 30 years experience in photography. I also completed university courses in mathematics and chemistry and some business-related courses as well. Once I tested and was hired, I went through the Crime Scene Analyst Academy as a Crime Scene Analyst 1. and also the field training and evaluation program for crime scene analysts. It's the CSA 1 job is an entry-level position where you really gain the foundation for your future work as a crime scene analyst, hopefully a senior crime scene analyst. After spending 2 years as a crime scene analyst 1, you're able to test for crime scene analyst 2. And that's a more responsible position, one that handles more person calls versus the property calls that you probably came from as a CSA 1. It's also a preparatory position for the CSA 3. The CSA 3, or the Senior Crime Scene Analyst, that is another testing process. It takes you 4 years to get to that point where you can test for that position. And it's a rigorous testing process. And when you're done with that, you're pretty much handling person calls as well as some property calls, but mostly person calls. And that means you might be working on homicides, you might be working on sexual assaults, complex scenes. But it takes you 4 years to get to that position and quite a bit of testing.
And so when you work for Metro as a crime scene analyst, your proficiency tested within the organization?
Yes.
And you're evaluated and you either promote or you don't promote, is that
correct?
Fair? And you have training in all aspects of crime scene documentation and preservation?
Yes.
And that would be photography and then doing measurements, making diagrams, that sort of thing?
Yes.
Do you also, you personally have, or at least in 2008, did you have a special, qualification in the area of bloodstain pattern analysis?
Yes, I completed probably about 125 hours worth of training for bloodstain pattern analysis. I also completed approximately 129 hours for shooting incident reconstruction and did quite a bit of work in those two fields during my career.
Now, for those designations, were those separate and apart from Metro? Like, is there an independent body of Metro that says you're qualified in the area of bloodstain pattern analysis and interpretation?
There is. I did do a lot of work with Metro. We had classes that we try to get everybody on board with bloodstain pattern analysis. So we had classes for that. If you certify in bloodstain pattern analysis, you do so through the International Association for Identification. I certified as in crime scene reconstruction, which dealt with bloodstain pattern analysis as well as shooting incident reconstruction, and cold case homicides were part of that class as well. There is further education, and the certification goes through the International Association for Identification.
And over the course of your career until your retirement, how many crime scenes do you think that you've been to?
Sorry to say, I really didn't keep track of it. I'm sure I believe it's around the 6,000 mark when I left the department, probably ranging in complexity from simple burglaries all the way up to more complex person calls like sexual assaults and homicides.
Okay. And back on May the 15th of 2008, were you requested to go to an address on Rancho Santa Fe Drive by homicide detectives?
Yes.
And do you recall which detective it was that requested that you come out?
I believe it was Dino Kelly who asked me to come out.
And so do you recall what the purpose was for you in going out there?
Yes.
What was that?
I had two purposes. The first was when homicide detectives returned to the scene to do a reenactment, they actually found two additional 9mm cartridge cases in the garage that were not found on the night of the 8th when the scene actually happened. So I was called to collect those, document their positions and collect those as well. I was also called to document some oily deposits on the walls inside the hallway.
And why were you called to document those deposits on the hallway?
They would have been associated with the shooting. There was blood, hair, tissue, all in the hallway at high levels. It went up from 5 feet eight above the floor all the way up to the ceiling in some places at 12 feet high. And they wanted me to document those so they could be analyzed in the future if they needed to.
When you went out there, did you take your own photographs documenting your work?
Yes.
And did you also prepare diagrams sort of representing what you found at the scene?
Yes.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Yes.
Sir, I'm going to show you
photographs which have been admitted as States 215 to 246. I'll ask you to just look through those yourself and let me know when you're done, please.
Okay.
Do those photographs look like the ones that you took on that evening?
The only one that question is the first one, and it might have been mine. It's just so generic, I'm not sure that I took it.
Okay, but does it fairly and accurately represent the location?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm showing you States 247 to 249. Do you recognize these three diagrams?
Yes, I do.
Are those diagrams that you prepared?
Yes.
So I think you said your first purpose in going back to the scene that evening was to collect some evidence.
That's correct.
I'm going to put on the overhead States 216. And is your screen on in there?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously one of your duties as a crime scene analyst is to collect evidence, correct?
Yes.
The evidence that you were asked to collect that night, did you find it yourself or was it pointed out to you by homicide detectives and sergeants?
It was indeed pointed out to me by homicide detectives.
And what was the nature of the evidence?
They were fired 9mm cartridge cases.
Now, looking at 216, what are we looking at in terms of the area of the residence?
This would be the southwest corner of the garage where the water heater is. You can see the water heater by the door. This door here I always referred to as the fire door. It's a thick, solid door that leads from the garage into the interior of the residence. We see a red toolbox right by the water heater. There's also a tray that's used for tools in front of that toolbox by the water heater. Water softener in front of the water heater.
Can you, I think there's a mouse up there. Can you circle the sort of bluish-green toolbox just for the members of the jury? And is that the location of one of the cases that you recovered?
Yes.
I'm going to put on the overhead next, States 217. What are we looking at in that photograph?
It's the same area, but it's a different angle. This is actually looking west. So we have the water softener on the right side of the water heater. The tray, this blue tray that holds tools and other items inside, that was by the water heater in this area here. And there was a cartridge case in this tray. There was also a cartridge case down in this area here that we'll see in a moment, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm going to put on the overhead States 219. Do you see the cartridge case in the blue tray?
Yes. It's right in the very top section, the blue tray. By the pliers.
And then this is States 220.
And this is, the softener is right here. The line that goes up is the side of the water softener. This is a pedestal for the water heater. And right here we can see a cartridge case by that empty water container.
So one was in sort of that blue tool tray and one was by that bottle of water next to the water heater?
Correct.
What did you do with those items after they were pointed out to you?
I photographed them, documented them in my notes, and then recovered them.
I'm putting on the overhead States 221. Does that appear to be one of the items?
Yes.
And this is States 223. Is that the second one?
Yes.
And then you would have impounded those. Is that right?
That is correct.
And then they would have been submitted for firearms analysis by another person. Correct?
Yes.
You don't do that.
No, right? I don't.
Okay. So the second reason that you were asked to go out there is because I think you said there were some oily deposits on the wall that the homicide detectives wanted you to look at.
Correct.
You, over the course of your career, did you have occasion to attend autopsies?
Yes.
And do you, any estimate on how many that you went to?
I think it's probably over 100, but I don't know exactly. I didn't keep track of those as well, but I attend autopsies the first maybe 5 or 6 years in my career as a crime scene analyst, and there was probably hundreds of them.
You described the spots earlier as oily deposits. Were they consistent with anything that you had observed at autopsy over the course of your career?
I thought that it was probably cerebral fluid that surrounds the brain, that it came from some kind of brain injury and kind of painted the walls with these small specks of fluid that leached out into the flat wall paint.
Okay. And had you seen that before at prior scenes?
Yes.
Is that why you thought that was possible in this case?
Yes.
The consistency of cerebral fluid, how would you describe it?
A very light, oily consistency.
Now, when you went about doing sort of the secondary purpose here, not impounding the cartridge cases, but examining the walls, what steps did you go through?
I first examined the walls, and this would have been the area where Sharon Randolph was killed, around that area. Examined the walls, took notes on that, drew some diagrams so I could later make the diagrams you'll see here today, and then I attached little arrows showing directionality if possible, if not just showing the round stains that weren't so directionally. Sometimes when a stain, when something hits the wall, you can actually tell the direction of it based on the tail that's going from the end of it. These were roundish stains about the size of a quarter. There was a lot of them in that area, and some of the stains did have some directionality with small blood stains inside, very small. They were probably about 0.5 millimeter in diameter, really small stains.
I'm going to put on the overhead States 214. When you got to the residence on the 15th, did you walk this hallway from? I know you weren't there on the night of the homicides, but did you walk this hallway on the 15th?
Definitely.
And were you looking at the walls of the hallway for possible evidence?
Yes.
You said that you ended up focusing in the area where Mrs. Randolph's body was?
Yes, but also this whole hallway, there were those small stains I was referring to earlier, the oily deposits, as well as blood, tissue, hair on this wall here and on this wall here. Also above the bathroom door, and there was a little overhang. I guess it was probably due to air conditioning or something over the master bedroom door. So above your head, a little overhang. Okay. There was stains on that as well.
Okay. And when you walked it, did the detectives tell you where to look, or did you just do that based on your own experience?
I did it myself. Okay. They told me that the event happened in the hallway. Obviously, it was a week after I got there. So they just told me the event happened in the hallway, and they pointed out a couple of things, maybe a couple of stains, maybe some hair on the walls. I can't remember specifically, but I examined the area myself.
Okay. And I think you said that ultimately you kind of look at this wall here and this wall as well as you examine this wall. Is that fair?
Yes.
And you actually look at this wall, too, which is by the bathroom. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So you did sort of a walkthrough. You looked for areas of possible evidence. What would be the next step that you took in investigating this scene?
Again, I would do the notes would follow that. My initial drawings of the scene would follow that. All the little arrows I put up there for directionality would follow that initial process.
And you said you would mark things on the walls that you saw?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to put on the overhead States 225. Let me zoom out just a little bit. So kind of orienting, that appears to be if you're standing in the hallway facing the master bedroom?
Yes, that's correct. So you're looking south right now.
Okay. And when we look at the left of that this photograph, there appears to be numerous kind of yellow arrow stickers.
Correct.
Is that your work?
That is my work.
And what are you documenting there that you see?
Those would be the oily stains. And again, some of these stains had blood stains within them as well.
And I'm going to put on the overhead States 228. Is that just a different view?
Yes, this is looking toward the east. So this wall here, we actually saw it in the previous photo, but this is looking east. The doorbell chime is right here on that wall. And also of note, there's a possible impact right here, a bullet impact or a bullet fragment impact.
Okay. And did you measure or do you know how high up that was?
None of the stains were below 5'8". They were all above that point, and they went all the way, in some cases, to the ceiling. So they're approaching the 12-foot mark.
Okay, and you actually have your measuring tape here?
Yes.
I think I have a close-up of a stain. This would be States 230. Is that sort of a close-up of what you were talking about?
This is actually evidence sample that I collected. You can see tissue on it, possibly a bit of hair. So that was my item number 4.
And you would have impounded that?
Correct.
And that would have been, or could have been submitted for DNA testing?
Correct.
And someone else does that. You collect it and then someone else tests it?
Yes.
I want to show a different photograph. This is States 236. Is that a different area that you marked as well?
Yes, the number 4 is still visible here. It'll be the same number. I didn't have two number 4s. So that's number 4. It's in an area labeled F, like Frank, and it shows numerous impact or little blood impacts, tissue impacts, and that oily substance impact on the door above the bathroom.
And next I'm going to put on the overhead States 241. And just for orientation purposes, this is the door to the garage?
Yes.
So like from the house going out to the garage?
Correct.
And I see some markings up here on the ceiling. Is that fair?
Yes.
And what were you marking up there?
There's blood and tissue up on the air conditioning cover, the air vent cover. There's also hair and a fatty substance up there. And you can see labels here, 2 and 1. Those are my evidence labels. So that's 1 and 2 item that I picked from the scene, samples from that area.
I'm going to put on the overhead States 242. I guess that way. Can you see the item of evidence there that you're pointing at is like a hair and a little bit of tissue?
That's correct, right there. And that would be on the metal portion of that air vent. Intake.
And this is States 243.
Little fatty deposit right here. Again, on that, it's metal, it's highly gloss paint. Yes.
And so, ultimately, after you do all these markings and measurements, you prepare diagrams to represent what you found?
Correct. I saw a photo in there that you had just put away. It shows the oily stains are extremely difficult to photograph. And this photo right here shows about what we're looking at with them. If I used a flash on them, as we typically do inside, it completely drowned those oily stains away. And this is kind of what we are looking at when we just come here. You can see little round stains here. There's a few of them, but they're extremely difficult to photograph. They only showed up on these ambient light shots where you use the light inside the house that's there already to show it.
And, excuse me, for the record, this is States 244. So what you're pointing out are sort of these shinier circular shaped things. Is that fair? Okay. And so that's what you were analyzing in order to try to determine like a placement of when a shot was inflicted. Is that
correct?
Part of that was doing diagrams of the evidence that you located.
Yes.
So let's see. I will start with this is State's Exhibit 248. And to orient us, just for 1 second, I'm going to put side by side 214, which is the crime scene diagram.
Okay. If you flipped it over there, that would be more appropriate.
Okay, perfect. So we have 214 on the right, and then 248 is on the left. And so the vantage point here is looking towards the master bedroom. Is that right?
That's correct. And the master bedroom is right here. The doorway to the master bedroom is right here. This would be the door to the master bedroom.
Okay. And so you have marked on 248, or your diagram on 248 has areas marked D, E, and F. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so that's where you were noting the oily deposits that you were speaking of earlier in your testimony.
Yes, these of course they weren't laid out in square. That was just my area for them. They would have been a different pattern altogether. I just wanted to measure in how big these areas were and put them on the wall. So D would be the east wall of the north-south hallway. E is that little overhang over the master bedroom entry area, and F would be the wall just above the bathroom door. The south wall of the east-west hallway is right here.
Now, on the south wall, did you find any tissue or blood or oily deposits or anything like that that you noticed when you were there on the 15th?
No, there was absolutely nothing on that wall, and that kind of helped me decide where that shooting took place.
Okay. And so I think you said, like, obviously they weren't deposited in perfect squares or, like, a rectangle in a square, but they were generally in these areas of D, E, and F?
Correct.
And so that's what you're representing in 248?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to put, if I could just go back 1 second to 248. You made measurements on these of how high up they were. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what is the measurement?
They would actually be in one of the diagrams. I'm not sure which one, but I actually have all of those measured.
Okay, let me zoom in here. You measured, like, for instance, on these diagrams, you would measure where the overhang was, and it would be 9'3".
That's correct.
9 feet, 3
yes.
inches, or 8 feet, 6 inches, that,
like,
type of thing?
Yeah, that, like, section D, or, sorry, area E, went 9 foot three, if I'm reading it right.
Yeah.
9 foot three high, and it was as low as 8 foot six above that overhang.
Okay, and you did the same thing for F as well. You measured in as high as 9 feet or 7 feet, 3 inches?
Yes.
So let me now put on side by side States 247. So this you have labeled as the east wall.
Correct.
And looking at the other diagram, can you kind of point out where this is?
Yes, this would be the east wall right here.
Okay.
And there's the door jamb that you can kind of see. Area D is right against this door jamb here, and that door is right here.
So this door corresponds to this door?
Correct.
Okay. And so you looked at this east wall for those same oily deposits or evidence of gunshot wounds or some high-velocity injury.
Yes.
And you also, with Area D, measured in how high up they were?
Yes.
And I think that's as low as 5 feet 9 inches?
Right.
And then it looks like you also labeled on your diagram here item 4, hair and tissue.
Correct.
And that was 8 feet 3 inches up?
Yes.
And then some of the deposits went as high up as 9 feet 6 inches?
Yes.
And again, that's along this wall right here.
That is correct.
Lastly, I'd like to put on the overhead states 249. Now, looking at our diagram of the house, where is this wall?
That is right here. It's this would be the east-west hallway, and that is the north wall of the east-west hallway.
Okay. So you're not talking about this wall right here. You're talking about this side of it, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And in terms of what you saw on this wall, you also saw some of those same deposits, and then I think you took a blood sample, and you have that as item 3?
That's correct.
And then you measured out other other items of evidence that you found?
Yes, I showed where other small blood drops were here, here, and in this section called A right here. Also, a continuation would be up to the air conditioning vent as well.
And it looks like at the air conditioning vent, you collected another item of evidence that was yellow fatty tissue?
Right. We looked at those photos earlier. One was a head hair, I believe, and the other was fatty tissue from the air conditioning vents here and here.
Okay. And so you were able to make observations of this scene as to all of those walls and look at the evidence itself. First, in terms of like what you observed on the wall, was it consistent with like a high velocity injury, like a gunshot wound?
Yes.
And when you were going there on the 15th, was part of the question for homicide detectives about like where Sharon Randolph might have been when she was shot?
Yes.
And what determination did you make based on what you saw?
I would have put her shooting right near the bathroom, not too far from that door, but right in this area here, about where her knees would be, right in that area.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you found an absence of any material on that south wall. Would that be right?
It would be the south wall of the east-west hallway. Yes, there was an absence, and that's one of the reasons I came to that determination. If there was marks on that wall, I would have put her further down this way. But because that wall was completely shielded from any kind of debris hitting it, I'm pretty confident that it happened past that south wall.
Okay, and so you mean past this wall right here?
Yes.
And so somewhere beyond that wall is where she got shot?
Correct.
Do you know where the like where which way she was facing, or can you make any kind of determination like that?
I would say that she was heading toward the master bedroom in a southern direction. The reason for that is because of where the wound was on the head. It was on the right side, and we have all this debris coming out this way toward that wall, toward this wall, toward this wall. And if it was any other way, I don't believe it could have happened that. And it couldn't have deposited that blood, the tissue, the oily deposits. It couldn't have been on those walls if she was facing another way.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.